We are live on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Of course, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Doug McLean on Off the Rails Friday, former NHL president, GM, head coach, author of Draft Day, How to Pick Winners or Get Left Behind. In the meantime, heck of a hockey game last night. Canucks. Vancouver Canucks turned the tables on the Edmonton Oilers, scoring a late game-winning goal.
Let's go, Bouchard.
Can I ask you guys, they just got more guts than the Oilers.
Whoa! Coming out hot.
They're a harder working team. They're a gutsy, gritty, heart-filled team. That's what it looks like. That's what you hope the Berube coached Leafs play like.
Is that a Rick Tocchet reflection rather than a Chris Knobloch?
I think it could be, but they play so hard. And they played
JT Miller for me. Man.
Unbelievable game last night. They played so well.
Heart and soul.
You know what I'm going to start getting tired of? And this is, of course, because people are going to be on McDavid now for not producing.
Yeah.
Okay? But it just seems to be an ongoing theme that if teams don't have success, it's because their $10 to $12 million player failed them. And it's not what our game's about this time of year. If I was to tell people that playoff games are twice as hard as a regular season game, I'd be lying. It's three or four times as tough than a regular season game.
For those guys, for sure.
For those guys.
You sit there in the coach's office with a few names and you say, you know, it's not like a normal game, the way you defend that guy.
So
the way you treat.
Just to go with two. The non-Vancouver side of things here, the Toronto Maple Leafs just put out their official release.
Oh, they did.
At 5 p.m. on the Friday of a long weekend saying, introducing the 32nd head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Craig Berube.
Crazy timing.
5 p.m. on the dot.
Thank you, PR management firm.
Everybody's going home. Everybody's gone home.
Oh, they're like, yeah, this will just...
Like, everyone's in Muskoka already. Like, they're on the 400.
No demands for Berube at this point.
Anyways. All right. Let's welcome him in, Doug McLean, former NHL president, GM, and will not be the next head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Sorry, Doug.
So Berube gets introduced at 5 o'clock?
On Friday.
Identical to me. Identical to me. We get introduced at the same time.
You guys are the same person. Hey, Davy Crockett, where are you? What are you, on a hunting expedition?
I'm at the cottage.
Nice. Didn't know you had one of those to go with your Florida boat. That is actually sick.
There's the ocean.
Wow.
That is gorgeous. Hey,
and it's nice of Jill to allow you to do it in the attic.
Jill's not here. Jill's in the Finger Lakes RVing.
So we're going to get into a ton with Vancouver and Edmonton, of course. But the biggest news off the ice is Craig Berube as a Toronto Maple Leaf. Mac, the look is clear what they're going for here in Craig Berube, correct?
Yeah, you know what? I think it was a natural, since Craig got fired, that he would probably be the guy that they would go after. High profile, high salary. You know, he's won a Stanley Cup. He's got a good reputation. I mean, Craig Berube's a good person, a good guy. Somebody compared him to Babcock earlier. Was that you, Kipper? Like, seriously, you're not that far off. You are that far off when you're comparing him to Babcock. Like, seriously.
Okay, I don't know where you're getting your information, but you're starting to worry me here. Where would you have ever gotten that?
Well, you just said, you know, they're going back to the tough guy, like the Babcock guy.
Old school,
Babcock's
man.
Babcock's not tough compared to this guy. Let's not kid ourselves.
So listen.
Berube's a good coach. Binnington made him a great coach. Okay? Binnington got in a role and he won a Stanley Cup. And he's a good man. And he's a good coach. But he's not Scotty Bowman. Let's not get carried away here, okay? I think he's a good coach. I think he's the right type of coach for the Leafs, but he's not Scotty Bowman.
So he cannot win with this current roster. That's what you're telling us.
As I said, Binnington made him look like a great coach. Van Breesbrook made me look like a great coach for a short period of time. Is Wall going to make him a great coach?
I don't know.
They got to go get a goalie.
Well, or Wall takes a step. We all love Wall, but is he ready and who are they going to get? But I like the hire. I mean, I'm disappointed. I was hoping Gerard Gallant would have a sniff at it, and that didn't happen. But, you know, I happen to really like Craig a lot, and I think he's a good man. So I think it was the right hire. And Tree Living, you listed the guys he's hired in the past. He has had a horrific track record at hiring coaches until the owner made him hire Sutter. And this is a good hire by Shanahan and him. It was the only hire they could make, boys. Let's not kid ourselves. Todd McClellan, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Who else? There's not a chance they were hiring anybody else, boys. You could have announced it the day that, what's his name, got fired?
Keith.
Yeah, you could have announced it that day.
So, you know, we haven't seen Berube's track record with truly elite all-star guys. He's had Ryan O'Reilly, who's a gritty guy, and, you know, maybe Tarasenko. And some of, you know, they haven't had Matthews and Nylander and Marner. He also hasn't dealt with the chaos that is this market. You know, we know he likes to play the sort of play everyone, play hard, four lines,
forecheck
sort of hockey. How do you think it's going to play out with him in this market with some sort of unique individuals on the team?
I think it's going to be a real interesting experience for him to move into this group and realize what he's faced with. You know, a group that's really talented in certain positions and don't play very hard in certain situations. It's not going to be an easy job for him. Mm-hmm. To get this group to play well in the past. I love what you guys talked about last week on the show when somebody brought up the best analytics of all analytics I've ever heard of. How many goals did these guys score against playoff teams? Mm-hmm. How many goals did they score in tight games? I thought that was a great segment you guys had there. And
wow.
You know, usually I find your show boring.
Right.
I found that segment really good.
Good to know. Thanks for the feedback.
But listen, this is going to be fun. Berube will be a great fit. But it doesn't matter, boys. It's all going to come back to what happens in the playoffs and what Tree Living can do and what he can turn a couple of these core four guys into. What can he turn Marner into or whoever he's going to trade? How can they build a team? That's what it's going to be all about. So the process starts, and it's going to go all winter and see where they are next April. And it won't be easy. We see how the games are every night. We see how Florida plays, Boston plays. You know, Nick said, playoffs are tough hockey. So, you know, I'm excited for Toronto. I'm excited for the fans. I like Craig. I coached against him. I didn't really coach against him. We fought against him, I should say. We fought against him. But he, you know what? I think it's a really good fit.
So speaking of teams that rely heavily on two or three guys, the Edmonton Oilers now find themselves one game away from being eliminated against the Vancouver Canucks. And if Connor doesn't do it and you've got five or six of your bottom half of your forwards with 2 points or less, Mac, is there a chance that Edmonton can still come out on top in this series?
Is Adam Henrique going to go into the lineup soon? I mean, are we going to get to see him? That was their big acquisition.
Right.
Look, first of all, I want to talk about Petey. Okay, Petey, who...
Well, why am I here then?
Talk it called out, Petey. Talked to five or six guys, but he was really talking about one guy, Petey. I've never in my life seen a building cheer for a guy at the start of a game because they knew how fragile the fans read how fragile Petey was. Can you believe that?
Halford and Ruff did it. Our Sportsnet radio hosts inspired this chant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very sensitive out west.
When have you seen that in a National Hockey League game that a fan base cheers a pick-me-up for an $11 million player?
Something special is going on in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Are we serious watching this? And this kid, I know Tocchet motivated him. I know you guys are going to jump all over that, and he did. But the fans were so good. It was unbelievable to me. And I think the kid I mean, when you watch his press release, I thought they were going to have to get somebody to tie his skates for the game to get him ready. Like, it was frightening watching that press release, how beaten up and fragile this kid was. It's like Scottie Scheffler. Like, how bizarre. How bizarre is this?
Hey,
Scottie Scheffler, the purest guy in the face of the earth, is in jail. What's going on in the sporting world?
Hey, be very careful entering your golf course, okay? Follow the arrows. Do not jump them.
But anyway, look, so what's going to happen with Edmonton? How do they fire up? I've never seen – I mean, look, the power play was unbelievable. Connor McDavid had scoring chances at will against L.A. and early in this series. Last night, he had a tough time. Miller, great job head-to-head. Penalty killers were – that was coaching last night. That was penalty killing. I don't know who's in charge of their penalty killing, but that was penalty killing at its best last night. The way they took the lanes away, and he talked, you know, we talked about Myers, we talked about the big Zadorov, but it was a coaching clinic on penalty killing against a superior power play. And I thought it was really, they executed so well. So can that change at home? Yeah, they're going to be better at home. Is it going to go seven? Yeah, it'll go seven. And, you know, who's going to win? I don't know.
Well, it's... You know, it's going to be a big deal if this Oilers team doesn't find a way through, considering how the season started, how it went, you know, and they just hired a new coach, like looking for things to blame. I'm not saying let's pick apart who to blame on Edmonton, but, you know, Kip mentioned that Connor McDavid's already feeling a little bit of heat because he had a couple games without points. Like, what would the Oilers be going through right now trying to salvage this? Will they flip goaltenders? Will they mix up lines? Like, because the stories are going to be, it's going to be a big deal if they don't get through.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they mix up lines because they always, it's been the same for 10 years there.
Yeah.
You start off with Draisaitl and McDavid on separate lines. Then you play them together when you get nervous and you know, they're on the power play together. So, I mean, really it's Draisaitl, you know, for the most part, and McDavid in critical times. So I think Edmonton's a better team. I know their bottom six wasn't good. I felt good last night when Brown made the big play there on the goal to give them a lead, yep, back, getting the lead back. I thought that was going to be a turning point. But look, I think Edmonton will be better. I think they'll take it to seven, and who knows what happens there.
How hard is it?
But listen, goaltending.
Okay.
How many years has this been going on?
Okay.
And now you got the kid in, the veteran in goal. Seriously.
But before we go, just Mac, who do you start for the Edmonton Oilers? Skinner, Calvin Pickard. Who? What do you do? You're the head coach.
I'd probably go back to Skinner. I'd probably go to Skinner. He's the guy that got you there. He's the guy that got you out of the hole you're in after 14 games. He was there, one of their MVPs of the regular season. I'd go back to him. I really would. While we're on goaltenders, I said to you guys 2 weeks ago that it's a joke what's gone on in Carolina with their goaltender, or a week ago. And they're talking about Shesterkin won that series. No. Carolina's goaltending lost the series. It was what a calamity that is. Seriously.
You didn't like the first goal?
The short side?
Yeah, that was sitting against the skate.
Yeah.
Oh, that made it 3-2.
Yeah, that was a turning point moment.
That was a turning point. I mean, how does that happen? Like, anyway, I feel bad. Look, 8 UFAs there. Roddy Brind'Amour, what's he do? I'd run for the hills if I was him. Run for the hills.
And he doesn't strike me as a guy that's interested in another job.
No, I agree with you on that. I agree.
Probably just stay in Carolina with the family.
If he wants to keep, or he quits.
I really felt for him last night. I mean, they were a good team in that series, boys. They were a good team, but it was not pretty, you know. And they lose that lead like that. And Kreider, who didn't show up against Jersey last year, you couldn't find him in the Jersey series.
Like, they're building, they're chiseling a statue right now for him.
Big statue.
But did you notice him in this New Jersey series last year? Him and Panarin, you couldn't find them with a search warrant.
Yeah, but it was...
And last night he gets a hat trick.
He was building it up for this year.
Saving.
I saved it up. I know.
You did.
I was happy for him. I think he's a good guy.
Listen, just the one thing on goaltending is they're just not producing very good ones or ones that can stay consistent for long periods of time here. Like, what is it? Is it the way they've taught them over the years with that stupid reverse VH crap? Like, what is going
on? I don't
know.
But I panicked the other day when I saw the Olympic goaltending hopefuls for Team Canada.
I know.
Have you seen that mess?
It's lean.
Have you seen that mess?
Yes.
Like, I mean, what is going on? Like, what is going on with goaltending in Canada? But Freddie's head is run. Freddie's Freddie. I felt bad for him. But to go to think you're going to win a Stanley Cup with that group of three, what are they thinking about? I don't get it. Anyway. And your team, Berube, needs a goaltender. I love Wall. I hope he can come around. Berube needs a goaltender. You need a goaltender to win. Listen, Binnington was a great goaltender that Stanley Cup run for Berube. Great goaltender, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So the goaltenders are always a story this time of year. You just never know which guys it's going to be. I covered the Dallas-Colorado series the other night, which really is two potential Cup. You know, these guys, these teams have a chance if they get through. Gorgiev seems to me like he's just not going to be enough for the Avs. I don't know. Like, Ottinger seems like the difference maker there.
Yeah, Ottinger was a difference maker for Colorado the other night.
That's
true. He has been so good, and you love Ottinger as a goalie, and then you see what happens there with a couple of softies, and they lose the game. Ottinger has been really good, though. I agree with you 100%. Gorgiev made some big saves in that game to really help them get the win, but goaltending is so critical, guys, and it even is in the regular season now. So I you know, it'll be fun to watch what happens.
Nikushkin was a devastating blow to lose him, though. I mean, and I'm not sure how surprised they were, how much they knew, but being there 1 minute as a top goal scorer in the playoffs to losing him in such a short period of time, I don't know if they could overcome that.
Back-to-back playoffs. You lose this guy who's one of your best players, who's one of your power forwards, who's one of the key guys offensively and all-round player, and you lose him back-to-back years because of this. It's sad. I thought Bednar was absolutely terrific in his response to it. Health is always number one, but 2 years in a row, guys, I'll be surprised if the guy ever plays again. I really will. I mean,
oh, wow.
I mean, I can't imagine that Colorado. I mean, are they gonna bring him back? I don't know. I'd be nervous about if I was Chris McPerlin, I'd be nervous about bringing him back. And if I'm Nichushkin, I'd be looking for another spot to go. So, a big loss, devastating loss.
Yeah. We didn't.
And sad. It's a sad scenario.
It is for sure. The rest of that team looked like they're kind of rattled. That game, fourth game, game five. I thought. You got a much better. Okay, they had a couple days to regroup. MacKinnon and McCarr were unbelievable. This Cale McCarr, he's Bobby Orr. I mean,
I was going to say that he turned that game single-handedly around and inspired. I think he inspired MacKinnon. I mean, the plays he made, guys, that wrist shot of his from the blue line. I've never seen anything like it. Bobby Orr. Oh my God, Jeff Rimmer he just had a nervous breakdown when you said that McCarr's better than Bobby Orr. I mean, nobody's better.
Don't put that in my mouth.
Oh my God, he'll be phoning Bobby and telling him. I mean, it'll be frightening, so be careful. But anyway,
I did say that.
McCarr is a superstar. He's a superstar, and the guy, and you know, the kid in Dallas isn't too far off. He's getting in the way he's playing. Like, seriously, how good is he? So it's a great, battle.
You can't write off Colorado just yet because of McCarr.
Yeah, no, a couple of guys who are just too good.
And MacKinnon and Landeskog's been 2 years skating on his own, and now they say he's skating well. Like, obviously, he's not coming back, but talk about a big loss. Rantanen's a horse. I mean, you can't write them off. You cannot write them off. Not a chance.
So, Mac, what were your thoughts when you heard Brad Marchand explain to people that we actually try to go out there and hurt one another? The non-hockey people that hear this are just devastated. They're shocked. They can't, like, you you shouldn't try to win this way, Mac. It's not right.
He should. What Brad should have said is, I do. I go out and try to hurt people. That's with his low blows, you know. He should have said, I. Like, poor Brad was caught here. He had no out here. He had to say that.
He couldn't say that. The audacity of Sam Bennett.
Him and Sam are like,
he was caught.
Maybe they were separated at birth, him and Sam.
Oh, he was so caught on this one. And he said, yeah, we try to hurt each other. Well, I don't know. Lindros, with that heavy piece of lumber he used to carry around that he called a hockey stick, he hurt more people with that stick than he ever did with a body check.
I still skate with him on Thursday mornings. He scares people still. Yeah.
Have you ever lifted a stick up?
No, I'm not. I'm like, you want the puck that badly, just take it.
The same way.
Just take it. I'll be over here. So I'll line up at the center ice drop. You know, just go.
Let me know how that works.
Yeah, he tried to hurt people too, but he also played pretty well besides that. But it's been fun, and you know, let's see what happens. But I was really excited for Vancouver fans last night to see they haven't been that excited since Roger Nielsen waved the white flag. they haven't been that excited since then.
No, BX scoring a pretty big goal was right there too.
They had some moments.
Yeah.
Who did he score? Who did he score against? What goal was that?
That was San Jose.
San Jose, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, San Jose.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't notice him in the Boston series when we followed it.
Yeah. Just stay with me, would you? I keep driving it into the ditch. Swayman.
So where's the police officer that got Scheffler? Yeah. Get him on.
Swayman, that's a bizarre situation.
Swayman or Bobrovsky, who do you like tonight?
Swayman.
Oh, this one's going seven.
This one's going seven, and I love Swayman. I mean, he gave them every opportunity to win except for maybe one game, boys.
Did you see the interview where he all but Messier guaranteed? He's like, we're going to go back there. We're going to play the exact same way, and we're going to win.
Yeah.
He looked like a serial killer saying it.
Like, it's like Sam Reinhardt had no chance to score that goal with 7 seconds left or 4 seconds, whatever it was. But the game before, he was even dialed in. I mean, he gave them a chance in the previous game. He's that good. This guy may be, boys, I may be wrong, but he may be the best goalie in the NHL.
It's tough to argue right now.
No, it is tough to argue.
Maybe.
They're playing right now because of him.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I think Craig Berube should see if he'll get Brad to trade for him and see if they'll go with Linus Ullmark and trade Swayman, maybe. That would be good.
So you got any...
Ullmark.
Sam's so excited that Berube's going to be involved in player acquisitions. He's going to be the coach. He's going to be the coach,
I tried to explain it to
relax,
him.
Relax, Sam.
I asked relax. If he might be involved, yeah. Doug.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But I saw what you were insinuating with a big smirk on your face.
You got any other predictions across the country, like who coaches Winnipeg, who coaches Seattle, who coaches L.A.? What's left? New Jersey?
I think Scotty O'Neill gets Winnipeg, that'll blow me away, but I think he's getting it. I think Dan Bylsma is going to get Seattle.
Whoa.
Another Dan.
Yeah, another guy like Blashill will get – or like Blashill will get San Jose. I think when Blashill phoned San Jose for the interview, they thought it was Babcock on the phone because they sound so much alike,
identical.
You know? So I think that's Jersey. I'm not sure where Jersey goes. Do they go Keefe? They go – I'm hoping Jorg Gallant, but I don't know.
Yeah, I hear Keefe.
What's that, Jersey? Yeah.
So that's basically
Bylsma's coaching record. It's kind of crazy, right? Like, he takes over the Penguins, wins a cup. He's a head coach for a while. Yeah. Kind of works his way down the ladder until he's an assistant in the American League. Got back to a head coach in the American League, and you think he'll make it back, eh?
Well, I think he's he's near the top of their list. I think Ronnie Francis is a pretty, you know, loyal guy. I'm not saying it's the right move. I'm just telling you. As they say on the island, I'm not telling you it's the truth. I'm just telling you what I heard. So we'll see what happens. But I'm not a big. I like Dan as a guy. I'm not a big fan of him as a coach. So we'll But he's done a good job in the American League. Yeah. There's no denying that. Coachella Valley, wherever the hell that is, I guess it's in Palm Springs. He did a hell of a job there. And the question I have is his number. He hired that great female assistant. I forget her name. And, you know, it'll be interesting if she gets the head job in the American League. That will be real interesting because she was a key part of the coaching staff. So it'll be interesting if she becomes the first American League head coach.
Cool. Interesting. All right. What's on tap tonight for you in your cabin? Like,
Jill's away. I went in town. I picked up 3 bottles of wine
for tonight.
Don't listen. Don't drink and talk on my show.
Our blood alcohol level of our guest today is high.
We've talked to you before. You're not allowed to drink while on the Real Kipper and Bourne show.
I'll have it as soon as I go off the air. I will have a sip. I would never dream of drinking before I went on this show. That's for sure. If I ever lost this job, what the hell would happen to me?
Your income would just tank. I know.
I got a lot of witnesses across the country right now that would bet a lot of money that you had a couple of sips.
Yeah, sniff it at
during the
least.
Show. All right, Mac. Enjoy your first sip of wine.
You know I never pour it that low.
All right. Scotty Scheffler's cop is on his way now.
Yeah.
I got to rephrase it. I'm going to celebrate tonight the Berube signing and a Stanley Cup in college.
There you go. Doug McLean, everybody.
Enjoy the cottage.
Take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Okay. Didn't disappoint driving it in a ditch.
We had Joey Kenward call from a pub.
Yes.
It was Andy Strickland from a Senior Frogs.
Senior Froggies.
Doug, at least a glass of wine at the cottage.
Yeah.
His cottage looks awesome.
That's an unbelievable.
It's a classic A-frame old-style cottage. Love that.
Are we going to get in trouble because he showed wine? Do they have CRTC anymore?
I drink non-alcoholic wine. There is non-alcoholic wine now.
It's 5 p.m. on the Friday of a holiday long week.
Yeah,
you think our boss is watching?
Come
on, we're good.
There's a chance a few of the Leafs drank a little bit too to put their press release out on Berube at 5 p.m. on a Friday.
Yeah. Trilling was typing that on the 400 on the way up to the Muskoka because he's like, oh, get this one out quick, boys.
they're going, Tree, it's your turn to hit. And he's like, hang on.
Hold on, I gotta get this press release out. Send.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Okay, what do we want to do?
We'll do game time, and then we have a bunch of audio that we haven't played yet. We got a bunch of texts. I sent out a tweet for thoughts on Berube, so we got a bunch of stuff for the back half here, but I'll do game time now.
All right.
It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So, 2 good games tonight on the ice, 2 game sixes, Florida Boston in Boston. Plus 130 for the Boston Bruins on the money line. The Florida Panthers are minus 155. Heavy favorites.
In Boston.
I think tonight could play out very similar to how the Rangers-Carolina game played out, where the Boston Bruins give them a really good, hard effort, but ultimately the Florida Panthers find a way to win it. But to me, that number is just too high. Minus 155. They've got momentum going. So if you're going to go anyway on that, to me it would be the Bruins at plus 130. It's good value at home Friday night. That'll be a greased up crowd. So I really don't have a lean on that one. But if I was going to, I would say the Bruins. And in Colorado, it's minus 105 Dallas, minus 115 Colorado. Obviously much closer there in their mind between those two. I really have no idea on this one either. You could tell me that the Stars are going to come out and they're going to do what they did in games 3 and 4.
This is what a playoff series is all about. I have no
ups
idea.
Ups and downs.
You got one team with elite top-end guys, one team that's solid all the way through.
And that's if you could also tell me that the exact same thing that happened in game 5 is about to happen again where McCarr and McKinnon just take it over. So I really don't have a lean on that one
either. It'll be tough to eliminate those guys.
Do you think Florida goes after Swayman a little bit here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think they try to rattle him tonight.
I think perhaps there's a goalie interference call at some point tonight. Dancing in Sway's crease.
Playing a bit of a dangerous game, but you got to push the envelope a little bit on Swayman. He's that good.
Yeah. Whatever you do, take him off. And he also is a bit of a loose cannon. Like, he gets Yep. Shouldn't say he gets rattled, but he likes to engage and run his mouth, and he's got a temper.
And just a quick golf odds update here.
Yes.
Xander Schauffele is now at minus 12. He's one up on Colin Morikawa and three up on Scottie Scheffler at minus 9. So Xander Schauffele is the heavy favorite, obviously, plus 137 at this point. But Scottie Scheffler, if you believe that, you know, the jailbird is going to come back here and win this tournament, his odds are better right now than they were pre-tournament, and he can overcome a three-stroke lead, no problem. He's at plus 500, so it's a decent bet there for him. And Colin Morikawa, who is one stroke back and an excellent golfer, is plus 700 there. So a little live odds for you. Heading into the weekend at the PGA Championship in Valhalla.
Like, Scheffler, he's not just going to go home and join Doug with a glass of red wine. Like, you got to sort a couple things out. You need to call a lawyer. Oh, like, yeah. He's
not having a relaxing evening.
I'm not saying today. Like, I think this will affect him as much tomorrow and Sunday. Like, there's some hoops to jump through here.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to go shoot 66, 67 and win the golf tournament.
I think he gets cleaned up faster than that.
If he wins a major whilst figuring out his felony charges,
what is there to figure
a
out?
Week after
What's your gym nance call?
The criminal wins. How's that? No.
Crime pays, Derek.
Crime pays, yeah. Crime pays is good.
Hey.
You know, from behind bars to up with the stars.
Oh,
you know,
and sort of,
there's work to be done here. They'll find something by Sunday.
Out of the cuffs, into the winner's circle. All right, guys. Hey,
from behind the bar, the bars to in the bar with a big win.
Okay, that's enough. And that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the stats, and find out why it's never ordinary. Bet365, must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play it responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we return, we'll get a little sound from Peter Laviolette talking about his latest hero, New York Ranger legend now, right up there. I mean, delivers a...
as good as it gets.
Hat trick. We talked about... we talked to Adam Graves yesterday on Chris Kreider, and all he does is turn around and
pots three
one for the ages.
Yeah, that was quite the
New York Rangers. So we got Peter Laviolette. We'll get a little sound from Rod Brind'Amour. Plus your text on Off the Rails Friday. Don't go away.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee.
Hey,
we got some Kippers Clippers.
Before we get to that,
yeah,
we were talking about how we were going down to 1 hour on Tuesday. That is no longer the case.
Lies.
Our lovely boss, Ryan Fabro, dedicated listener to Real Kipper and Bourne, just texted me and said, 2 to 4 on Tuesday.
There will be a Leafs hour.
There'll be a Leafs hour, lots of coverage of the press conference. You know what, boys? You know
is
what
there a press conference Tuesday?
Yeah. You know what we're great at?
Listening to press conferences?
Breaking down the pressers, boys. We excel at that.
Strength.
Oh, yeah. So Tuesday, 2 to 4 p.m., the first hour will be dedicated to Berube Breakdown. So I just wanted to get that in there. Sure.
First question, Craig.
I'm sure they're all thrilled in Vancouver.
How are we pronouncing your last name?
Okay. Speaking of Vancouver, let's get to Rick Tockett on our first Kippers Clipper on the overview of the game last night.
Yeah, a lot of effort from a lot of different guys. I mean, almost every single guy gave us everything they had, you know. Resilient. I thought the guys were terrific tonight. They really came to play. It was, you know, obviously one of our best games of the playoffs.
Rick liked it. He said almost everyone. I wonder if there's one guy who's got the...
Doesn't that carry so much more weight that when you are critical and you're honest, and then when you go up there and say that kind of stuff...
People believe you.
It just seems like so much more sincere to me.
Vancouver had more points, right? Yeah. They got home ice advantage, but this is... one game away from being a pretty upset.
Well, because this is not the team that went 5-13 to start the season, the Oilers. It's not. They got a new coach, and they were unbelievable for 5 straight months. Like, that's so, to me, the early part of the record that makes them look worse than the Canucks is not
game
accurate.
Away with your third string goalie. It's
crazy.
Right?
And he's not buckling at all. There's
no flinch in him.
No.
No, he believes he's got that swagger,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. Pickard was good enough for the Oilers. Like, it's not like he was terrible. I mean.
That's what makes the decision kind of.
DiGiuseppe one?
Could drive a Mack truck through that 5-hole for the DiGiuseppe one. Yeah. But He's been okay. He's Pickard. He's Calvin Pickard.
He gave you a chance to win.
Exactly.
They got 35 shots, and he only gave up three. You know,
which makes the decision that much harder.
It is a very tough decision. Doug said he would go back to Skinner.
Yeah, I would too.
I would too.
They got a clean sweep here, fellas.
Go down with your guy.
Yeah, go down with your guy.
You don't want to lose with your, you know, you want to lose with your best players on the ice.
That's easy to say. It's like, bing, bing, bing. They're down 3-0 first period. It's like, well, maybe we should have stuck with Pickard.
See, but that's the sport. I mean, it can get burned either way.
All right, before the break, we mentioned Chris Kreider's heroic effort last night. Let's go to his head coach on what he saw.
Peter, just sum up what you saw tonight from your guys and the way they battled and came back.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously fighting back in the third period like that. Just our guys have been there before, done that before. We knew that we could score two goals in the third period, just I think from confidence of the year that we've had. And but that being said, you got to go out and do the work. And I thought the guys really pressed in the third period. You know, first period was fast. There's hardly any whistles. It went up and down the ice really quick. And second period, I thought the chances went back and forth. Both goaltenders were really good. Some big saves. But, you know, it came down to the third period for us where we had to go out and get something done. And I just thought the guys pushed really hard. They never caved on that game. They brought their best in the third period.
What would you rather see next round? Rangers, Boston, Rangers, Florida.
Rangers, Florida.
I think from a...
The NHL
original
say,
six. Come on, Rangers, Boston.
But, I mean, team-wise, give me the...
Laundry? Guys. Laundry? We talking laundry?
Like, laundry, it's Boston, but...
I want Boston.
You wouldn't rather see Bennett and Barkov and the boys?
It's a better series, but there's just tradition. Those two teams.
Bring me Danton Heinen because of tradition.
Give me Bruins. Yeah. I want Bruins.
No, there's you're right. You're not wrong, and you're not wrong. But
he never said
two,
that.
Two nice. Great markets.
Yeah.
Original six.
Oh, I thought you were including Florida.
Markets. Like, we're easy. Just talking about markets.
Yeah, for sure.
Two Rangers, Boston would be
awesome
something.
Fan bases.
The NHL. Salivating for that. Bring me that because they're worried about a Dallas Florida Cup final.
At the end of the day, like, come on, they don't want Carolina. Like, who's watching Carolina?
Oh, yeah. They're like, the Rangers beat Carolina.
That's when it becomes a full regional sport right there in the U.S.
The only game where they took the refs aside and were like, they can't. You can't let that team win.
Felt like that kind of happened in Vancouver last night, too. Five penalties for the Oilers.
They're like, we need McDavid through.
I want to hear Rod Brindamore. His comments.
On what?
On his overview of the third period, when it all fell apart.
We started out, actually, it was really good. We were going good, and then that, you know, obviously that goal was a tough one. You just can't happen. Yeah. We know that. I mean, you can't give a team like that a goal, and I thought we gave them a couple, and that's really not good. And then the momentum changed a little, and then obviously took a penalty, and you know, their top guys took over in the third there once they got that one. And we had a couple chances. I think we had a breakaway early in the third. And even when we were down one, we get it right in front all alone. And, you know, you got to give them credit. Their top guys stepped up when they needed to.
He's saying, Freddie's take a hike.
Not many times I'm just, like, extremely wrong, guys. Extremely wrong on Fred. Thought Fred might find it one year. He's not fine.
No.
Listen, I'm wrong a lot. What are his Conn Smythe odds? Are they good still?
There is, in every one of these huge games, there's always one that kills you.
From Freddie.
No matter what game it is.
Egregious, but like, God, just, like you just, you, we want that one.
Can you just cover the puck?
Yeah. Can you not just sit with it against your skate angling up into the net?
And, you know, the other goals, sorry, I'm not going to kill him for either of the Kreider goals. Like, it's a tip. Great tip. The one in front of the net, maybe you get a stick on. Your boy Chatfield got barbecued a little bit by...
It wasn't great coverage by him. But
Kreider's a horse in front of the net. He's a tough guy to cover.
There's almost another one through him that Martinuk pulled off the line with an unbelievable
amazing play. But here's what I'll say.
Bring me Martinuk, by the way.
I just...
This was their year, too, because this team is going to kind of blow up a little bit
for sure.
Here. And they are cheap. They are just...
Yeah,
cheap.
That's why they keep trying to win the cup with Freddie Anderson.
They're not going
to
pay Martin Natchez. He wants $8.5 million.
Sure.
He ain't getting it.
Well, here's Kip.
Pesci's not getting it.
This guy's a businessman. If you don't spend to keep good players, no, you don't get playoff games.
Yeah, I know, but he hasn't really experienced the kind of first ride of coming up. Take less now, but players are on to him now.
Well, and as the cap goes up and up and up here, it's going to be interesting to see if they continue to be. Because the cap was flat for so long that he's been a cap team with everyone else. But as that pulls away, will they keep
Gensel,
spending?
Like,
I love Gensel. Trade Dubas.
He
get a first
sign him, but he's not going to sign him to 9.5.
Traded the best guy at the deadline for a second-round pick.
All right.
Prospects and bunting.
Unless they don't win the Stanley Cup or whatever it was.
You got any...
I just want to grovel a little. I mean, sorry, just bask a little bit more on the afterglow of being so right about Freddie Anderson every year.
You should. So
and it feels it just
he's a
it
nice
feels,
guy
I'm
too.
Never I'm like never right about
guy.
Anything.
He's a good guy.
He's a great goalie.
But there's
I feel bad for him.
I don't feel
bad for a lot of guys.
Yeah. You know who you should feel bad for? Jake Gardner. Because Jake Gardner in this city
wore it on Freddie's behalf.
Just an absolute whipping boy for so many Leaf fans. And hey, Jake Gardner. Ton of mistakes. We'll never say it. But that game 7, I think it was 2018 in game 7, he let in 3 beer leaguers in the third period.
The DeBrusque one
under his leg. It's just like, and then Gardner's
so
like, Gardner's minus
that.
5. He's minus 5.
Freddie's got another year too.
Oh yeah. Great. They'll go the exact same distance again next year. Anyway,
I don't think you can bring him back in that market. Even they,
what? That market?
No, even like the 3 beat reporters that follow that team will catch on.
There's no way they got 3.
You know, more?
Less.
Less?
There's no way there's 3 there.
Less than 3?
Yes.
The second that game ended, they're like, who's the starting center for Duke next year?
Buddy,
like, they do not care.
We're like, all right, we need someone for Carolina on the show. And it's like,
okay.
Who they got?
Well, I guess we'll call Tripp again. Yeah, it's like, that's it.
Yeah, he's the color guy. He's not even a reporter.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So
crickets drop.
So I sent out a tweet asking for people's thoughts on Berube, initial thoughts.
Yes.
And people seem to be, how about this one? This is from Michael Corbett. I like I think he'll bring accountability and a lot more discipline to the country club lifestyle. That being said, hard-nosed coaches often are under a 2-year benchmark just because of the way they are. Players can go either way with that kind of coaching.
Yeah.
There's a chance that they're paying him to not coach at some point in this 4-year contract.
Yeah, but he didn't run out of steam the way some of the hard-nosed coaches do. Like, their team just didn't win enough, which is why he got fired. Didn't feel like he ran out of personality.
It'd be interesting to dive in deeper to the relationship between Doug Armstrong and Berube at the end.
Might be something there. He was there for 6 seasons.
Yeah.
You remember that press conference that Doug Armstrong gave? Like, after he fired him, that super, like, heartfelt one about how he watched it and he just knew and it was time and all that stuff. It felt like it was a really, really hard decision for Doug Armstrong to make.
Yeah, emotional. By the way, shout out to Neil from Oshawa, my guy Neil Gillespie, who texts all the time. And we haven't read his text all year because you don't let me see the text. But shout out to him.
So we still won't read it, but we're just acknowledging that you do send them.
Hey, yeah. Sorry, but I get 1,000,000 texts every day, and we read 3 a week. So sorry, Neil.
Fine if you hate my friend.
Kind of want to see Mitch Marner playing under Berube, just to see what happened after the first time Berube publicly criticizes him.
It might be different, you know? Like, you know what to expect from Berube.
Like, everybody's pointing to Mitch with Berube. I go to Nylander first. Mitch is the only guy with a conscience to play defense. Mm-hmm. Mitch has had like 6 breakaways compared to the 100 of Willie floating along the blue line.
But sure, but the difference I think is that if Berube went to Nylander and said, sit down, you're not playing tomorrow night, he'd be like, free night off. And then he'd be the same guy the next game, whereas I think Mitch might take it harder.
Oh, God.
It's the investment, the emotional investment.
What do you think Berube does when he says, hey, free night off?
I doesn't like that either. Maybe benches him again. And Willie goes, double time.
So we've done a ton of Leafs. So we've got to do more Vancouver. What were your thoughts on Pettersson's game last night? And was that a big step in the right direction? Cheers from Vancouver, Daniel.
I thought he came out of the gate skating hard.
Okay, how about the call?
Oh, my God.
What's that? What call?
His call for charging.
Yeah, it was the one of the most disgraceful calls I've ever seen.
So I've seen everyone say that. I have.
So you think
so,
it is.
So there,
well, he does jump.
He jumps. And there is a part of the rule that says that you can't jump. But, like, I'm jumping to save my life.
Well, sure. It's in defense.
I'm not jumping to hurt someone. Yeah. I'm actively not charging
at anyone.
I just thought that if I see that call, like, when was the call?
Charger.
I know, but when in the game?
It was middle of second period.
Middle of second period. Like, tie game in the third period. I'm going crazy.
It's a bad call.
It's just a bad call.
They shouldn't call. Yeah, not in the playoffs. It's not a penalty.
It's just ridiculous.
He's kind of protecting himself, but...
It's just crazy. I don't want to see that call ever.
He does jump. That's all.
But, if you're a Vancouver fan, you're so happy to see that. Because I think that's an underrated part of Pedersen's game when he's on, his physicality.
It's got to start somewhere. But when you're making $90 million, you have to help put the puck in the net.
And he did on the winning goal.
He did. But there needs to be a level of consistency there. And
I thought he tried his ass off. How hard
it is for these star players to produce this time of year, but you've got to have more moments than he's had.
I've said it to you before that, you know, I've had a coach that we went through and circled guys and squared guys. And the circled guys, you're hard on and you're in their ear and you're like, this guy might shut it down. Guy like Corey Perry is a square. Who was it that he had his stick to his face? Might have been the game before even.
And oh, gosh.
Do you remember that play? And it was like the most obnoxious little brother thing. And whatever Canucks player was the bigger man. And to me, they've said, just don't engage with this guy and make him relevant. But with Petey, it would be, all right.
How many points does he have?
Perry?
Corey Perry. And-
I don't know. It had to be a dash last night. Zero. He was bad.
I don't think he scored.
I think he's zero.
He has not looked.
He's got goose eggs. Like, there's a guy that is still has found a way over the years to produce this time of year.
Yeah. I mean, how old is he? Like, he's getting up there. He looks every bit his age.
Buddy, you wanted him here.
Yeah, I will say fully.
Yeah, like 3 years ago.
No, I also wanted Evander Kane here, and he scores big goal last night. He looked good. Anyways.
What do you think? Listen, I'm jumping the gun here, but, like, what happens to the Oilers if they lose?
Oh, I love it.
Where does it go with McDavid and Draisaitl?
I can't go anywhere. I mean, try to give them all the money.
I'm coming home.
Draisaitl signing in July.
Tell the world I'm coming home.
That's what I'm talking about.
He might want to see the direction.
Yeah. Okay.
One thing I'll say.
What kind of direction are you going to see between now and the summer or January or February?
Me a goalie. Go bring me a goaler. That would make me feel a lot better.
And I'll sign 8 years.
Yeah, sure.
He seems much more likely to be like, I'm not a traditional hockey guy, and I'm not going to be like, I just sign him for the good of the team like McDavid might. I think he's a bigger, more dangerous guy to leave than McDavid is.
I think
for sure.
He might be like my favorite player in the league.
So good.
But it's also the domino effect.
If he threatens to leave the next year, it's McDavid's turn
to sign. I'm coming home.
Where, buddy? It's like there's not that much salary cap for your Matthews and your Nylander and your McDavid and your Draisaitl in Toronto.
They got Pridham. They got Pridham. They're fine. You'll figure it out.
Wake up.
He doesn't do magic. He doesn't make numbers change.
That's how big these games are.
Stakes, baby.
It's the future of the Oilers and perhaps at stake.
Couple quick Jim Nantz calls for Scottie Scheffler. From the green jacket to the orange jumpsuit, Scottie Scheffler. That's pretty good.
How about this one? From a cell to a celly.
Okay, yeah. From a square cell to the winner's circle.
Oh, not bad.
That's very good. And I lost the other one. There was very good. And now there's too many texts and I lost it. So, sorry, guys.
He's in charge of the text, but he loses them.
It's impossible to tell. They vanish into the air. I can't explain it on air. I'm not going too inside baseball. But when people text multiple, it pops around. It's very kind of a convoluted system. I wish they just texted my phone.
You need a secretary.
We need admin. Can someone volunteer to intern? We need help next year.
Oh, my God.
We need someone. We need a body.
Oh, God, I'm embarrassed.
All right. Game six tonight.
Give me a score.
Panthers win 3-2 in overtime. Ooh.
Matthew Tkachuk end their season again.
Oh, I like that. Good call. Yep.
All right.
4-3 Bruins OT. Going 7.
Also OT.
All right.
Dallas Stars get it.
Enjoy your games tonight. Absolutely. And we are back Tuesday at our What time, Sammy?
2-4.
2-4. 2-4.
From 2-4 on Tuesday. Enjoy your long weekend, everybody. Give us a rating and review if you get a chance.